This is Health First with Dave Fuller, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're back talking with Lenka Mesikova. And Lenka, we were talking before the break about, you know, how the food industry and, you know, tries to change your, you know, your perception of how things are so that you're, you know, you're tied into, you know, using their meal plans or, you know, eating their foods. What is it also about the food industry in terms of labeling? You know, you talked earlier about you never even thought of carbohydrates or calories or protein before you came to Canada. You know, and started cooking. What are we too focused on worrying about calories and protein? And, you know, should we just be throwing that out the window and then focusing on whole foods? What would happen?
Yeah, this is a very good question. And it's, and also the answer could be very, it could vary depending who is answering. But as you ask me, I'm always promoting the whole real food diet. It means that everything what's coming closer to the nature is better. Mm. And you know, there's many studies where people come or like they do a little study at let's say kindergarten, and they show kids like one hard-boiled egg and a little pack of gummies, and they ask them what's better. It's same amount of calories, what's better? And of course they do choose egg because they're not that brainwashed yet, and they say like, of course egg. But we, over the years, when the food industry really like they give us studies every day in the mainstream media, wherever you look, any magazine, there's so many articles, and it's so confusing and it's so overwhelming. So the calories are a very, very tricky question. And always my answer on my workshops or wherever I talk with people is that just forget calories for 1 second. Forget the nutritional label. Forget how much fiber is there, how much protein, how much fat, especially fat, because fat is such a big enemy, right? So forget about that. Just flip straight to go to the ingredients list and read what's in your food. And the ingredients list pretty much tells you everything. How much the food is processed, how much stuff, how many chemicals there you can't even pronounce, and how much, for example, sugar is there. Because all sugar coming from a different sources right now, even from artificial sweeteners and stuff. So go there, and that tells you a lot about how much stuff is there we should not even be eating. Like for me, one of the biggest eye opener when you're talking about the ingredients was MSG, because everybody pretty much knows that MSG is something we really need to avoid. And unfortunately, most people didn't know and don't know that MSG is hiding under almost 30 different names. And once you find out, then you just really start to question everything, because there is even label like no MSG added, but then you put, then you look in the ingredients list and there is all different kinds of names hiding MSG in it. So that's always kind of a starting point for people to realizing that not everything what's labeled on the product, all the health food claims, for example, health food claims are forbidden in Europe. You are not able to put any big sticker and the fancy marketing on the product to promote how healthy it is, because that's one of the way how we get navigate from the ingredients list. And because we don't have time, right? We don't have time to read every single ingredients list while we're shopping with kids or being tired or, you know, just grabbing something quick for dinner. So that's what I'm trying to always kind of point, like just pay more attention towards the ingredients list and forget it all about the fancy marketing on the products and the boxes.
How much time does it take to create a dinner? As a mother, you know, and a wife, you know, and you're making dinners from scratch, I imagine, most of the time.
Yes.
You know, how much time does it take to make a meal?
You know, some of the meals are more elaborate, and I love cooking. I really spend a lot of time in the kitchen, but it's my way how to show my family my affection and love, and then I'm caring for them, and my kids actually helping me a lot, especially baking. That's one of their favorite. But you know, my biggest tip for anybody who would like to be cooking and be focusing on cooking from scratch is the planning. I think that's the hardest part, and also most time-consuming part to actually plan. And it doesn't have to be very specific, like a meal plan. You don't have to have fancy apps for it. You don't have to have fancy anything. Just have it in your mind what you're going to be cooking. And for example, it saves tons of time because you can prepare something ahead. You can chop something before or soak the grains or whatever you're planning to do next day or next couple of days. And the most important, it saves a lot of money. Because we don't have to go and grab something on the last minute in the grocery store, just one item, and then we have all of a sudden the full cart, or, you know, it just avoids it. And also, it saves so much time. So some of the meals, really from scratch, could be done within 30 minutes.
Which is not very long, really.
No, but I need to know what I'm cooking.
Yeah.
If I don't know what I'm cooking, then I spend way more time in my kitchen.
Yeah,
I'm just kind of lurking in the pantry and the freezer and...
What, you know, let's talk about costs. Is it is it really expensive to eat whole, you know, nutritiously? Or is it cheaper?
Great question. You know, what I find the biggest trouble when I talk to people who are really not eating whole food, they always come like, I can't afford it. And I get it. Like, it's really, and especially if we want to buy something organic. But the trouble is that the whole food and the real food is not expensive. The trouble is that the junk food is so cheap. So when we compare it, right, like when we go to a fast food joint and buy a bucket of something, right, and it's for full family, and I don't know, I don't even know how much it costs because I never go there, but let's say 16 or 18 bucks, and the whole family can eat from 18 bucks, you have no preparation time, you have no cleaning time, and everybody is kind of... satisfied, I guess. So that's the trouble where people say, like, what exactly the reason why I would be cooking from scratch? Like, you know, like if I buy everything and make the same meal, it's going to cost me 50 bucks or 40. I spend tons of time in the kitchen. Like, what's the point? Yeah. So that's a hard way. But people who are already on the transition, and I find many, many people who are really going towards like that huge slow food motion where people are realizing that we just don't feel right. We really, there is like the epidemic of the all diseases, but not just with adults or people who are over 60, but with kids, right? Now, nowadays, we see so many kids who are ill and so many middle-aged people who are dealing and unfortunately suffering with a lot of diseases who are preventable, and most of it is the lifestyle. So it's a diet and the whole kind of no exercise and sitting all day lifestyle.
You mentioned $50 to feed a family, but you know, is that somebody's, the figure somebody's pulling out of their mind, you know, their, or is that something, you know, I mean, if you're using rice or potatoes or,
yeah,
those things don't really seem to cost a lot.
No. And exactly, like, it could be really, like, 50, that was just, like, a comparison where people coming to me and say, like, if I prepare this meal, it would cost me at least 50 bucks. And they always come up with different sums. And exactly, like, where, if you buy good potatoes, and I always try to seek local sources. There's beautiful farmers market, even in the climate like we have here, and looking out of the window, like, you know, it's so snowy and so cold. Even this, in this climate, we have beautiful local sources like root veggies. And that's what I always try to focus on the local and also seasonal food, because seasonal food is way cheaper. So it doesn't have to be really that expensive. And other thing is, what I'm trying to also teach people is we don't have to have big bulk of meat for every dinner. First of all, it's not that healthy, and secondly, it's really expensive. But there's beautiful other sources of, let's say, protein we can have from grains or from, you know, beans. Like, that's, there's so many really cheap, nice whole food and cooks from scratch meals for like dinners right now. Nothing could be better, like nice bean casserole and with a little bit of rice or quinoa or anything else.
And those kind of things aren't that expensive.
No.
And you know, especially if, like you say, you're preparing them.
Yes.
You know, you're buying, you know, you're thinking ahead and buying, you know, for a week or two, you know, and then you can say, okay, well, I'm going to do it for this. What is the benefit, though, of creating those foods, you know, in terms of energy, you know, in terms of being able to focus? What are you seeing as benefits that people are telling you?
I can tell from my even experience when I came here and I wasn't really experienced with anything of this. Like, I just took food as for granted and I always had best sources. Like, my parents have organic garden. I was never shopping for carrots at the store.
It probably is not an organic garden. They probably garden organically, but, you know, there's just...
Sorry. I mean, like, they don't use any pesticides or herbicides. I always kind of use the organic garden, but in my view, it means that they don't spray.
That's right.
Yes, they don't spray either fruit or veggies.
Yeah.
So... I came here and I live here long enough to realize that I just don't feel right and I couldn't figure it out. And it actually took me over a year to figure out that I am not okay eating a regular bread from a store. Mm. You know, the sandwich bread. Mm. And we have a very different bread in Europe. And I'm sure all the listeners kind of aware that how we praise bread and how very important part of our food culture it is. But it really took me lots of time to figure out that I'm not feeling very good and I don't know why. And there were a combination of different things. And then I started to buy local food and the local bread. And we have amazing bakery here. And I'm sure wherever you go, you can really seek for the local sources. And I can tell from my own experience, I just didn't feel right. Mm. I felt very tired. I was very emotional and very moody. And, you know, I was a new mom and always tired and stuff. But then when I started to really have my typical lifestyle and cooking breakfast, cooking lunch and dinner, even though I spent so much time in my kitchen, I just felt good. Mm. And I felt energized. And even though I slept almost nothing with two very tiny kids, I just felt okay. And I'm meeting a lot of people who are either on the transition that they're dealing with something and or they have some kind of illness they need to kind of tackle, or they just been very tired and very maybe almost depressed for a long time and they seeking different options. Mm. And food is one of them. And a lot of people I met even on my workshops, people who are suffering like with MS or like really, really hard diseases. And they say like it was absolutely transitioning. Like once they started to focus on more healthy choices, or for example, some of them skip dairy for a while or gluten, or they were just trying to figure out what works for them. Mm. And they said the feeling and the way how they were actually dealing with what I had was amazing. Like the transitions was there right away. So, and that's probably the biggest motivation for people who are not feeling that great, that good food gives you so much energy. And just for even brain, right?
Yeah. Lenka, you know, it's fascinating. And I'm sure we could talk for another half hour or a couple hours. In fact, I think you do 3-hour interactive workshops. So,
yes.
you know, but this show goes across the country. And I'm sure there's people out there that would like to get hold of you or you know, ask you some more questions. You have a Facebook page, do you?
Yes, I do have a Facebook page. And it's called Fine Eating with Lenka. And fine eating is one word with one E. So Fine Eating with Lenka. And most of the information I have over there, I have a lot of events coming up. But also what I do, I share lots of recipes, easy recipes, kind of motivation before the weekend or like meals in the middle of the week. And like, also good articles.
So it's like a blog almost.
Almost, yes. But English is my second language, so I'm trying to probably focus on Facebook right now. And yeah, so I wish your listeners all the best.
Yeah. And if they want to come to, it's Fine Eating with Lenka, L-E-N-K-A. Yes. Lenka, thanks for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
Yeah, thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me.
That's it for this week's show. I want to thank Garrett Perry, our producer, and for producers across the country that are making the show available to you. Hope you have a great, healthy week.